Welcome back, Creepaholics crew, to another episode of Creepaholics. I'm your host, Shanice, and tonight's episode is going to be a long one. It will be three parts because there is a lot to cover. So, without further ado, let's creep into it, shall we? Tonight's episode will be the Scott Peterson trial. Scott Lee Peterson was born October 24th, 1972, at Sharp, Corondo Hospital in San Diego, California. His parents were Lee Arthur Peterson, a businessman, and Jacqueline Leatham, who owned a boutique in La Jolla. Lee and Jackie both had six children from previous relationships. Scott was their only child together. When Scott turned 14, he dreamed of becoming a professional golfer by the end of high school. He was one of the first junior golfers one of the top junior golfers in San Diego. In 1990, Scott Peterson enrolled in university at Arizona State on a partial golf scholarship, but soon Peterson would be kicked off the golf team due to fighting. He would then transfer to California Polytech State University to major in business, but then he changed his major to agricultural business. While at Polytech, he worked at a restaurant in Morro Bay. In mid-1994, he would meet his future wife at a restaurant. Her name was Lacey. The two would begin dating after their graduations. Peterson opened up a sports bar in St. Louis, Obispo, called The Shack. After a while, Peterson would put it up for sale. Him and Lacey would move back to Lacey's hometown of Modesto, California, to begin a family. In October of 2000, they bought a three-bedroom home, two-bath bungalow house for $177,000 on Caveno Avenue. The house is located in a neighborhood near East La Loma Park. The shack would sell in April 2001. Lacey took a part-time job as a teacher, and Peterson got a job at a TradeCorp USA, which was a European fertilization company. Peterson was earning a salary of $5,000 a month before taxes. Lacey's family, including her sister and mother, were considered perfect housewives. They enjoyed cooking, cleaning, and entertaining guests. So in 2002, when Lacey announced she was pregnant, the family was super excited for the baby to come. In November 2002, Lacey was just 7 months pregnant. Peterson was introduced by a friend to a massage therapist. Her name was Amber Frey. Public statements would say Peterson and Amber began a romantic relationship. Then, on December 23, 2002, at 5:45 p.m., Peterson and Lacey went to Lacey's sister's place of work. It was called The Salon. Her name was Amy Rocha. She would go there for monthly special haircuts. Rocha said Peterson offered to pick up a fruit basket that she had ordered for her grandfather, and it had to be picked out the next day. He claimed that he would be playing golf nearby where the fruit basket was to be picked up. Peterson also told people that Christmas Eve, he would be playing golf. Later that day, Lacey would speak to Sharon Rocha, which was her mother, on the phone, around 8:30 p.m., which would be the last time her parents would talk to her. The last time her parents had seen Lacey was in Carmel, California, 3 weeks before Christmas. But Peterson would later tell police that on December 24, 2002, at 9:30 a.m., that would be the last time that he would see his wife. He would then say that he had only seen her when he was leaving that morning to go fishing at Berkeley Marina. Upon leaving, he said she was mopping the floors and said that she would later take the dog for a walk, which was named Mackenzie, and soon would make gingerbread cookies after that. Peterson also said she was watching the show Martha Stewart's Cooking, which was a TV show. Police would say that they spoke to a neighbor who said around 10:30 a.m. she found Peterson's dog. So Mackenzie was found by the neighbor. The day that she was found, she was apparently alone outside of the neighbor's house, and the neighbor's name was Karen Sarvez. Police received another report from neighbor Mike Chavate, which he claims he saw McKenzie around 10:45 a.m., while Peterson was apparently playing catch with the dog. That's very important. Peterson claims he returned home that afternoon. He claims the home was completely empty, and also Lacey's 1996 Land Rover Discovery was missing as well. Now, Peterson says he found his dog McKenzie in the backyard. He says he then showered, washed his clothes, and then because, you know, he had to wash them, apparently, because they were smelly from a fishing trip. And he had gotten them wet while he was on the bay because it had rained. He testified that he claimed this, well, he claimed this to the detective, first of all. And the detective's name was Alan Broshi. He then eats a pizza, has milk with it later on, instead of looking for his 7-month-old pregnant wife. He then calls his mother-in-law to explain that he cannot find Lacey. He asks if Sharon was with her. That would be the first time Sharon would know that Lacey was missing. It wouldn't be till later that evening that Ron Gretzky would be the one to call the police, not her husband's suspicious behavior. Lacey was, after all, 7 months pregnant with Peterson's child. Now, the baby's due date was February 10th, 2002. It would be a baby boy that would be named Connor. Lacey was officially reported missing on Christmas Eve. The story would soon become a nationwide attention to all, especially mothers, who were concerned about a pregnant woman that apparently just disappeared. Now, if that doesn't say that something's wrong, then I don't know what does. Now, Modesto Police Detective Alan Broshi and John Bueller were appointed lead investigators in the case. When they arrived to check the house, upon inspection, they would find Lacey's purse, sunglasses, keys, and wallet in the Petersons' home. But they were in a side closet. Police would begin questioning Scott, ABC News, in 2017, and was told by John Buer, which he quotes, "I suspected Scott when I first met him. Didn't mean he did it, but I was a little bit thrown off by his calm, cool demeanor and his lack of questioning. He wasn't, 'Will you call me back? Can I have one of your cards? What are you guys doing now?'" John would say that Scott's behavior was quite strange, combination of polite and arrogant, disaffectedly distant and impatiently irritable. He just didn't seem like a man who crushed or even greatly disturbed by his wife's disappearance and possible death. Even the detectives aren't believing his actions at this moment. Scott would talk to the police and would begin telling his events of what he said happened. Scott would tell police he went fishing for sturgeon at the Berkeley Marina. At 2:15, he would then say he called Lacey's cell phone and left her a message. Quote, "Hey, beautiful, it's 2:15. I'm leaving Berkeley." He claims he was 90 miles away from his home. Sharon Rocha, Lacey's mother, would immediately run to the park to search for her daughter. When she got there, she said she saw Scott about 20 to 30 feet away. She would begin to yell Scott's name to get his attention, but he would pretend not to acknowledge her. He seemed distant, and when she finally did approach him, which was back at the house where him and Lacey lived, she would attempt to hug him to comfort him, but she said that he would angle himself away from her. With so many inconsistencies with Peterson's story, police suspect foul play, which was almost immediate. Though, in the first few hours of Lacey missing, it was suspected to be suspicious before foul play. Now, in the beginning of Peterson, Peterson's in-laws would defend Scott and would claim that Scott and Lacey were the ideal couple. But as soon as the investigation continued, they grew more suspicious of Scott. January 17th, 2003, it came to light Peterson had two different affairs with Amber Frey. Now, Frey would tell police that their relationship began on December 30th, 2002, after knowing that Peterson's wife, Lacey, had just gone missing. Even knowing Peterson was a person of interest, she still met with him. She would also tell police she met Peterson on November 20th, which Scott had told police, or she had told police that Scott had told her he was single. After they had started dating, she did suspect that he was married, and she did confront him on December 9th, 2 weeks before Lacey's disappearance. He said he was a widower, and implying him and Lacey were done, which wasn't true. He said it would be his first Christmas alone. Please consider that this was the first indication that he had already killed Lacey, which Sharon Rocha agreed it was possible. She and police would arrange recorded phone conversations in hopes of getting confession from Scott. Now, I'm going to announce this now because this is where the trial is going to go very long. This will be the first recording I'm going to let you know. There are several recordings to the episode, so we will start with this one. So it will be during the trial that the phone conversations will be played. People's Exhibit 196E, 196G, and 196S, phone audio clips recorded. Now, each one is about an hour long, so I'm going to do it in different segments. And then after the phone conversations and you get all the details, which I'm telling you, they are juicy. It took me forever to listen to all of them, but you are going to want to hear what has gone on between these phone conversations. So it would happen that Scott Peterson and Amber Frey would be doing these conversations between each other, but Amber agreed to say, hey, please, you know, you can record our conversations. Go ahead. Let's see what we can find. Let's get a confession. So that was what they were trying to do. So it would be peterson.s.v-72100. And this was in the trial of prisoner at state prison. The first audio recording I'm playing for you will be January 1st, 2003 at 12:01 a.m. Here it is.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year.
I just stepped out of the room because it's so loud and crazy, and I thought, you know, you're going to be, I knew you'd be calling, and I was like, I didn't want to be in the middle of that because I would not be able to hear you.
Oh, that's
it is insane. I didn't think Sean's party was going to be so insane because she's always going to be quaint. There's not going to be that many people, and they're singing karaoke, and I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. So, how are you? So tell me, what is your New Year's resolution?
I didn't even think of one.
You didn't think of one? You had 9 hours to think of one.
Yeah. I didn't think of one.
Nothing, huh?
Okay.
Oh, there was some Louis Miguel, or what is his name? I don't know. They're just some songs. I kept telling him they weren't good, so I haven't looked at the, I haven't really looked at the karaoke category, but, So, well, Ayana's asleep. She's with, Diana tonight. My mom had to work, so.
I was able to, I wasn't sure if I was going to even make it to Sean's tonight because of her, because my phone was not working, so. So anyway,
Wait a minute now. What did you say?
What was that?
What did you say?
If I could, I would. I don't know what, I don't know who sings that. If I could, I would.
Well,
something with them to Yes, but I had my hand over Sean's mouth the whole time because she did very bad. but I was thinking, gosh, I'll look at it and I'll see what I haven't looked at all the songs yet. So I was thinking I might find Islands in the Stream or something from our first day. So you would not believe how much Ayana has talked this week. She is saying like 4 sentences. What was that? I couldn't hear you. What? Yeah, she's saying like 4 word sentences. Like, Mama, I'm all done. She says Mama now, and she'll say, I'm not done. And just, it's incredible the word she's saying. Didn't I tell you? I was like, by the time you come back from Paris, she'll be talking full sentences and reading or, potty trained and all that. Do you remember when I told you that?
Yeah, totally different little one.
What was that?
A completely different little one.
Yes. So she's just amazing me. This whole week she's been so verbal and talking, and I'm just like amazed at her vocabulary.
Yeah,
it is. It's every time I'm just like, oh, I wish somebody was here to hear that. aside from myself. Oh, it's just really, it is. So, and then somebody had asked about my birthday and what I was doing, and I said I didn't know. So, you'll be back by then, right? So, what do you think you want to do? What do you want to do on my birthday?
Something good.
Something good? So, I'm going to do the Napa Valley when you come back? That'll be fun. I've never done anything like that, so, or been, to a place to do that. I've been, to massages, of course, but that's my extent of being pampered. That would be fun. I'm looking forward to those days. Yeah, I do, actually. Would you like to hear it? Yeah, I would like to share with you. My New Year's resolution is, and actually I thought of one for you. Which one do you want to hear first? Yours first. My New Year's resolution for you would be to not travel so much and spend more time with me and Ayana. What do you think of that? Was that something on your mind or anywhere close?
Oh, yes.
For a long time.
Well, it's
long gone. I know, it hasn't been too long, but certainly. I don't even want to think of how long it's been, because it's already been too long. But my New Year's resolution is to just, first and foremost, is just, to build my business. And second would have to be just, maintaining, my health and focusing on what I need to do. And just, just really, keep focusing on that. And as well as with my church, God, there's so many things I want to talk to you about. I don't know, do you have time? Well, I just, this Sunday at church was just so awesome, Scott, that it was something I really needed
you know, or for the sermon to talk about, because I was just, you know, having a hard time with you and what we had talked about before you left to go to Paris. Do you remember that?
Trump?
Yes. And the whole sermon was so much on that, and I made a request, you know, to talk to the pastor about that I'd, you know, just to talk about, you know, freeing myself basically of this battle I have in my head from things, and so, you know, Sunday was really good for me and really eased myself about a lot of things, and, you know, just to really put that out to God, and so it was good. It was a good Sunday for me, but I just miss you so much, and, you know, I was thinking, you know, you've heard that expression, how, what is it now? I just totally went blank about the expression about how the, you know, the absence makes the heart grow fonder. And, you know, I've really been thinking about that because that's been, you know, people have said that so many times and it's hard for me to understand that. And it's just amazing and incredible how, you know, that's so true, because I miss you so much and I just wish you were here and, you know, I could be with you. And it's just, you know, I'm just waiting, anticipating the day that I get to, you know, see you again. What was that? Yes, I'm here. You know, I keep feeling like I wish I would have, you know, verbalized more to you before you had left about how I felt about you and everything, and that, you know, bothers me. Because why? I mean,
it's understood.
It's understood. Well, it bothers me because, you know, I'm not going to see you for so long, and you know, to have all these feelings bottled up is just so hard for me not to be able to express them, because phone calls, you know, at the same time, you know, I had said to you, you know, at least if I don't get to see you, if I could talk to you every day, it would mean so much because I can't see you. But at the same time, you know, phone calls are impersonable to a point, but yet are, you know, an open door to communication, of course, but it's just, you know, just the feelings that I have and the experiences that, you know, we talk about and everything, just, it's so hard that I'm not going to see you for, what is it? I don't even know when you're coming back. What was that?
Less than a month now.
Less than a month?
Yeah. It's better for me, at least.
It's better for you?
Well, it's, you know, kind of lessening. We come through, you know, many days. Up to each other, so we're knocking down the days.
Well, yeah, the days are getting, you know, it's getting closer, right?
Yeah, of course.
So, I know you said before you'll be back, you know, by my birthday, so what anticipate plan for, do you have anything in mind? Yeah.
No, I have to come up with something good.
You have to, you haven't came up with anything then.
I want to, well, kick around ideas.
What, share them with me?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a surprise.
So what about that?
The big idea would be a surprise of some sort.
A surprise? And so then, what about Valentine's around the corner?
Oh, that's true.
That's, is that going to be overwhelming for you? We're so close together. To write me?
I'm
What was that?
The postcard you asked.
Oh, you did?
And I started on a letter.
That would be so wonderful.
And I'm finding it hard.
Why?
So many possible topics.
Well, you just narrow it down to one and write about it, and whatever comes to mind. I mean, Scott.
Yeah.
Why do you find it so hard to talk to me about these things? You say, you know, when I talked to you on Saturday, you were saying that there's so many things you thought about us, but you haven't shared them with me. Why can't you share them to me on the phone? This next year coming that I could see happening. and I don't think I'm ready for that. You know, I want to enjoy, you know, Ayana and where she's at and experience that. And, you know, like you said before, soon we were together, that I could enjoy being with you and Ayana. And, you know, and if that came, but, you know, one thing I never said is I had talked about this with another friend earlier this year, well, now next, that if I met someone that didn't want to have children, I'd find contentness in that. If all my needs were met and Ayana's needs were met, then certainly I'd find contentness in that, and that I'd be okay not having another child. You know, I can't really ask for anything more than that.
Such a small portion though, Scott, that like I said, relationships are constant on change and dealing with that and accepting, and you know, it's not always, you know, it's not always something that's so always 100%, you know, or 100% happy all the time. I mean, there's down. So is that part of that 5% that you're talking about?
I'm sorry
about
that.
What was that?
I'm just saying that, you know, I don't want to say innate. It's not innate, but it is in us how we relate to someone as a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Based on, you know, our life experiences. And we have to spend enough time together to see how that is.
So how long do you think it would take between you and I before we figured that out?
Oh, I don't know, sweetie. You know, we learn how much every day that we get to spend together. It hasn't been that long.
No, it hasn't.
But, you know, there's huge portion that's on the side of love and caring and everything that can be established, yeah, so quickly, and that is, you know, so strong.
What's so strong?
That's it. The loving, the caring, the connection, the energy.
So what do you feel you have with me at this point?
The loving, the caring, the energy of growing, and only wonderful.
Yeah.
like I said, I just...
I know
No, I didn't give him any money.
No, he didn't give
him any money. I don't know. No, he said he gave him $5,000 for the tickets, for the hotel arrangements and everything. And they took off my thing. And the fashion fair travel is who he gave it to this guy Luz, and it's no longer there. It was a place, but she's not there. And I said, I can't believe you even trust him. Like, it was such a scam on stuff, because they've done so many scams together. I've heard all their stories, and it's funny. But I laughed. I said, I can't believe you even gave him $5,000. So it was funny, but so anyway, I was glad he called, because I was really, upset that he hadn't called me for so many days, and we were supposed to have left on the 28th. So, Scott, have you got New Year's resolution since you talked to me? Yes.
For her, and she confesses him.
That has to be that whole scene, and I wish I could quote it, but I can't. But that has to be by far my favorite. Plus, there's a song in which when they first encounter her, the song alone brings, that just begins the whole, like, you know, lump in your throat and stuff. It's that would have to be one that really gets me. I mean, every time. So yeah. What I was gonna ask, what book were, did you finish the book you're reading?
Yeah.
What book was that?
Chuck Kerouac. It was letters he'd written while he's hiking across the country. He's the author of what's that book? The late '60s. It's like New York, San Francisco wrote that book. The famous letters for peace.
So,
I'm sorry, I can't think of it right now.
It's okay. Good book, though. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's interesting. Because it's a place that he was, not geographically, but mentally. That's interesting to me simply because I've never had a prolonged period of freedom like that from responsibility. And,
Jack Kerouac?
Yeah.
I'll have to look into that book. To look into that so I could be on the same page as you. I could hear the song in the background. Can you put her Ruby, or my hero song, that Maria Gracie song?
Oh, yeah. Give her your own baby. Yes.
Enough of him. You could take my breath away. That's all I got.
Oh, you better get out there. Take that mic.
No, they were trying to earlier, and I said, oh, no, I've already done this, and it was bad. So, yeah, I told you earlier my hand was over Sean's mouth, and she was so bad. And Doug was like, oh, my, he goes, that was good. I wish I took a picture, but nobody had the film. Well, they have cameras and videotape, but nobody videotaped that. But my hand was over her mouth that whole song because I could not listen to the song with her mouth. It was bad. Oh, she's all, I go, Sean, you sound really bad. And she said, I know, I'm wasted. She doesn't get wasted very often, does she? She's a lightweight. That's an understatement. I mean, I've had three cocktails, and almost four, actually. So I think I'm very clear-minded, though. I think I'm, you know, I at least I'll ask you, am I slurring? I guess I was just so excited, you know, the anticipation to hear from you was just, you know, I was just praying that, I was like, oh, you know, God, please let this phone call go through. And like, all I ask is 20 minutes, please, that's it. And I said, anything more than that will be a blessing. So, truly, it was, because I know it's been so frustrating. You know, I'm like, I'm thankful I get to hear from you, because at least I know you're thinking of me, and you're crying to say goodnight. So it's, you know, it's frustrating to hear all this static and no connection, and, you know, and then to hear it clear but still not be able to hear anything, and then it's static in here, you know, so I'm...
Did you hear me last time I called?
I heard you. I was just like, you know, the anticipation after that, like, you know, to be able, I was like, just, you know, like I said, I was praying that I could talk to you and be able to have a conversation, because it's just been so frustrating. Not, you know, it's just been so stressful, and, you know, and I haven't been able to talk to you, and it's been so, not so long, but I mean, it's certainly long enough that I, you know, to see you, and it's been hard.
That's quite long. Thank you.
wonderful crew that has been, my days have been so busy and crazy with family and then work and, you know, all that I've at least been occupied and but thankful to be around when you call. It's just amazing how, you know, my days go. Like I said, when I first started, I said, you know, if I didn't move, into my old office, I wouldn't have had the time or opportunity to have spent with you. And so I've been thankful for that. And, just trying to stay positive and with church, I was going to say, you know, what they had talked about, just, you know, what we talked about or how I was saying I had a hard, you know, things I was having a hard time with trust with you and everything. You know, Sunday, so many things were cleared in my mind and to me that really, you know, I just turned everything over, you know, kept that mind to turn over things to God and that those things are in my past and, you know, and all that's important is, you know, right now in this relationship that I have with you and my daughter, I mean, first and foremost, my daughter and my, you know, getting my business started and, you know, I'm just so happy. I mean, I'm happy. I mean, it's been really hard dealing with, you know, you being gone and having all these emotions and feelings and just that anticipation when I get to, you know, spend that time with you. It's been very hard. Finally to get to, you know, talk to you. It's like, God, I'm not going to let this go until we, you know, or when I get able, you know, when I'm able to finally, you know, talk to you, I just want to, you know, I can't wait for a letter. I want to hear all these things you thought about us. Mm-hmm. What was that? Yes, I'm here. Long jean skirt, so I
don't know, but you have to look on now.
that a couple times to me when we're getting ready for that formal on
that Saturday, December, when was that, December? December 15th, I think, yeah, you were just like, yeah, you had commented on that. That's something I've had to work very hard on, Scott. It's not something that came to me easily. I agree with that because it has been a very hard thing for me to overcome.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm finally, you know, secure with myself and confident. And, it hasn't been easy. It's been very hard.
You've done a great job.
Thanks. So, I get reminded every so often. It's, you know, it doesn't mean it's any easier though, but I get reminded every so often. I deserve a lot of things. But you know, everything in its time. What was that? That's how I said something. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
That's how I said something. That I always keep it to the surface. There's everything in its time. And everything in its time serves a purpose. Sorry.
Oh, God, don't ever say that. Don't ever say sorry for sharing that.
Thursday. Well, who's to say what's to come, huh? It could be intense days for you.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
I said, well, it hasn't started for you, so your days could be intense, long days with these meetings.
Yeah, probably.
You're seeing her, you're going to discuss financial stuff and...
Yeah, she's still got her business plans.
So...
That kind of stuff.
So, your nighttime, so I could, you know, someone have an idea to when to expect to hear from you. I don't know what your time is.
Well, I know, there's something different.
So, all I'm saying is I don't know when you go to sleep.
Probably midnight or 1.
So that would be...
3 or 4 your time. And then, let's see. If you go to bed at 9, that's 6 o'clock my time.
Well, I don't know until 11.
Yeah.
So, 8 your time.
Okay, I'll have you up by then. So let me call when Sharon needs to.
Like I
said, I'd like to talk to you at that time.
Like I said,
to me, it's the most intimate time.
The most intimate time because.
Just because of the time of day, our psyches are down relaxed. And, we're focused on relationships. As opposed to getting up in the morning and doing things, or going to pick up the dry cleaning, things like that.
So, I don't have my schedule in front of me. I know Friday I have, schedulings here and there, but, I always say, certainly leave me a message. I enjoy getting, if I can't talk to you, at least to hear a message from you is always wonderful.
I'll always leave one when I call. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Can you go back to that part?
Okay.
And our relationship will grow.
And what?
Okay, our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It will grow.
Mm-hmm.
Have confidence in it.
Okay.
And how beautiful you are.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Okay.
Good night.
Well, that was one enticing phone call. So that was between Amber Frey and Scott Peterson on January 1st. Just kind of like, a phone call between two people in a relationship that don't really know what's going on yet. I mean, she suspects a few things, but she doesn't know quite the extent of what's going on. So that was evidence, phone evidence 196G. So tune in to part 2 of the Scott Peterson trial to listen to our next phone conversations, as we have many more to cover, including a statement from her mother and her sister. Thank you so much, Creepaholics crew. I'm your host, Shanice. Keep creeping it real. And don't forget to check out our YouTube page, our Patreon page, or our Facebook page. If you want to get a hold of me personally, then email me at creepaholicsvsshanice@gmail.com, or head on over to Facebook and send me a message through our Creepaholics page. I would be happy to talk to you about future episodes, or if you just want to stop by and say hi or Merry Christmas, I am so happy with that. Anyways, next up will be our part 2 of the Scott Peterson trial, so tune into that because that will be released by the end of the night. Thank you so much, everybody, and keep creeping it real.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.